Coming to you from the top floor of 222 Studio, this is the 222 Paranormal Podcast. How do you like that? The top floor.
VIP.
I think we mentioned
We're
it before.
The VIP
We're like,
section.
What, 4 foot above ground.
What's up, my brother?
Nothing.
How's it going?
Good.
I like your
great
shirt.
Great holiday. I love my shirt.
Joe's wearing his cool alien.
Yeah, and you just posted a picture on our Facebook page.
Spaced out t-shirt.
Got it from Tracy. Went and visited Tracy down in Newark, Ohio. And I'll talk about that in a second. But I understand you have something funny to start the show out with.
Just a little something to spark the old giggle.
Get this
reflex.
Year going.
First
show of the year.
First show. Ba, ba, ba. 2019 coming at ya. So flat earthers try to prove that the earth is flat in a variety of bizarre ways. The earth isn't flat. Sorry to tell you, folks. Even though Shaquille O'Neal thinks the earth is flat, it's not.
Does he?
Even the people in the Middle Ages knew it was not flat.
Yeah.
So there's been a resurgence of flat earthers saying ridiculous things. There was one flatty, as they're called.
Oh, are they?
Flatties.
I wish.
Yeah, I didn't say flabby. I said flatty.
Oh, no. See, I've been working out. I have a keg instead of a six pack, but I'm still
working. Bomp, bomp,
bomp.
Okay. So one took a level into a plane to prove that the earth was flat. Then there was a BOB, so I don't know what BOB stands for, who planned to launch satellites into space to prove the earth was looked like a map, right?
Okay.
Buzz Aldrin, the famous astronaut, wrote BOB to confirm that the earth is in fact round, but that didn't deter the flatliners. Or flat earthers.
Flatliners.
Same thing. The most bizarre attempt to disprove science came from one flat earther who planned to launch himself into space with a homemade rocket.
Oh, I know exactly who you're talking about now.
Yeah. So, you know how the true test that the earth is not flat?
If it was, cats would knock everything off?
Exactly.
Oh, okay.
Meow, meow,
well,
meow.
Okay. Now that you mention that, think about this. Every other planet that we see, and pretty much every moon, I mean, some moons aren't really round, but everything's round. Why would why would the Earth be flat when everything else is round?
It's not flat, it's square.
Oh. Yes, let's start a movement, the Square Earthers.
Square Earth Movement.
Because we are squares.
Okay, moving on.
Oh, okay. Is that it? Now, the guy that did shoot himself up in the rocket.
Yeah.
He only went up, what was it, 2,000 feet or 3,000 feet? And then it just back down to the ground. And I think he got hurt when he landed.
Yeah, maybe he went squat.
Yeah.
Splat, flat.
You know, and the big deal that is all the flat earthers, that say that every single piece of evidence that's ever been put out is fake from every single country that puts stuff. I'm like, oh, just get over it, dudes. Pay more attention to our podcast than the flat earth.
That's right.
Because we're not flat.
No.
I'm very round.
So am I. Wah, wah, wah. Okay.
So we had a email a while ago from a listener, and I looked it up and I cannot find his name, but he wanted us to do a show about giants. Okay. And I kind of put it on the back burner because I wanted to learn more about it. And like I said, over the holiday, I went down to Newark, Ohio to my friend's house, and she lives 1 mile from the Newark Earthworks. Okay. And what that is a giant circular mound. Okay. And while I was there, I did climb up the side of it and fell. And the people in the parking lot were probably laughing at me.
Was it round?
No. Yeah, well, the mound is round. But and, hey, flat earthers are complaining about that from all over the globe. But anyhow, get it. Right overhead. So anyhow, the Newark Earthworks is a complex of mounds, and there's only two parts of it that are left. Everything else was bulldozed over.
Oh, my gosh.
The main circle, which I went to. From the outside, it's probably 30 to 40 feet, but on the inside, there's a big ditch before the mound where it looks like they scooped up the ground and put it on to make the thing. So they think that it was a moat all the way around.
Okay.
And they're like, you know, why would it be defensive and put the moat on the inside? Well, I'm thinking, well, maybe they put the moat on the inside to keep people in.
That could be it.
So back in the 1800s, they were digging around this mound to see if they could find any artifacts, and they found a coffin, okay, or a sarcophagus, whatever you want to say. It had a giant in it.
Shut up.
Okay. Underneath that, they found this stone, and they call it the cornerstone, and it looks like a cornerstone, but like we were just mentioning, it looks like a pendulum, and it's about 5 inches, all rock, and about a month later, I think it was, I have to do, and we'll have a show later about this, but they found what they call the effigy stone, and these stones are now known as the Newark Holy Stones because they have the effigy stone was in this little tiny coffin.
Mm-hmm.
They picked it up and it rattled. So they knew that there was something inside, so they broke it open and found this carved stone inside with Hebrew writing. Now, that's important to remember. It had Hebrew writing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And they have no idea how these got in that mound because it's old-style Hebrew writing. And like I said, we're going to do a whole new show. I have someone's, you know, the professional or the expert on it. Mm-hmm. I have his email, and I'm going to get a hold of him. We're going to have a show on just these stones. But it kind of took me along this path this week of adventures, and I'm telling you, if I did any more searching, I'd have to buy myself a hat. Okay. Well, Josh has a hat.
Yeah. Ken has a hat. Nick.
They all have hats. So if I do any more exploring, I'm gonna have to buy a hat.
A Lyle too. Don't forget about Lyle. The Hatters. The flat and Earth Hatters.
Is it Zawaki or however the in?
Oh, the doctor?
Yeah.
Sawaki? I don't know.
He has a hat.
You need a hat, Joe.
I have to buy a hat if I go digging into this.
I have one for sale on my Poshmark site.
Oh, do you? Want.
Yeah. It looks like a bucket hat. It's not cool.
Oh, no.
Well, it's cool, but it's a different kind of style than you
want. If I'm going to wear it, it's going to be cool.
That's right.
Yeah. So, anyhow, finding out about this stuff, and I've always been interested in the mounds, the Indian mounds, they call them, and digging into this more, almost every mound that you read about, they call burial mounds because they found skeletons, but they found giant skeletons in these mounds. So it propelled me into doing a show about giants because they're being found all over the world, these skeletons of giants.
So let me ask you a question. The mounds, are they all of Native American descent?
Well, that's the thing. Okay, they call them Indian burial mounds.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them, like, I know in Newark, they used to be called the Indian Circle, but I guess you can't use the term Indian anymore, so now they're Newark Earthworks, which in a way makes sense now that I've dug into this and learned so much more. I believe, now this is my opinion by looking at all this stuff, that the Indians didn't build them. I think they just used them as their locations and that, because I did see a few accounts where Indians have no records of them building them, and some even said that they were there before them. Now, finding these giants buried in these mounds, they believe that they were actually the Hebrews that were here before the Indians. Okay, and that's why they found Hebrew writing on some of these stones. And the ones in Newark are not the only stones they found like that. They found them all over the country.
Wow.
So, and the relationship between mounds and giants is just unbelievable.
The reason I ask that is I know a lot in the Native American folklore and a lot of their art, they do depict pictures of Sasquatch or Bigfoot. Mm-hmm. And I thought maybe for some reason that it was correlated or tied together.
Well, I do know that on Mount St. Helen, there's Indian stories. Or Native American, we should say. I don't know if we're allowed to use Indian or whatever. There's folklore and stories of the tribe. And I had it wrote down. I didn't know you were going to bring that up. But I had it wrote down on my other notes that they used to say that on Mount St. Helen, you didn't go up there because the tribe of Inuits or something like that were up there.
Mm-hmm.
And those were the hairy men.
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't go up there because the hairy men were cannibals.
Well, do you remember that we asked, I think we asked Ken Gerhardt about the Mount St. Helens eruption,
mm-hmm.
where they was a report of all of the Bigfoot bodies
yeah.
that were stacked up, mm-hmm. and then a truck came and mysterious, like, army type truck
yeah.
came
mm-hmm.
and loaded all the bodies up and took them away, there or they burned them.
I was listening to one of the other podcasts, and I can't remember if it was
That's
Jim Harold's or if it was
Mysterious Universe, maybe.
It might have been, but they had a gentleman on there that was in the army at the time that Mount St. Helens erupted.
Mm-hmm.
He says he saw the Bigfoot
yeah,
bodies.
Maybe that's what I remember hearing mm-hmm. that.
But in Native American folklore, you didn't go up on Mount St. Helens because that tribe of hairy men lived up there,
mm.
or wild men, however they call
yeah.
them.
Yeah, interesting.
But getting back to the mounds and giants, mounds are found, giant skeletons have been found all over the world. And there's a map that shows the places that the giant skeletons were found. There's one of the United States,
mm-hmm.
and it's pretty much on the East Coast, the West Coast, but in the Ohio Valley area, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Indiana, it's just like jam-packed. They found so many. I know in Pittsburgh, in the 1930s, they found 49 skeletons buried together.
Oh,
giants. And when I say giants, I'm talking 7 to 8 foot tall
mm-hmm.
humans. And there's different characteristics. But in Cuyahoga, I believe I wrote down here,
mm-hmm.
in 1916, they found 68 buried together.
What?
Okay. And West Virginia, they found them. I mean, all over the country, they're finding these giant skeletons. Okay. And some of the ones they found in Toledo, we'll talk about in a minute, but a lot of these giants are found to have double rows of teeth. Some have 6 fingers and 6 toes on each hand and foot. Okay. Mm-hmm. And it goes back to the Bible and the Nephilims, which were believed to be descendants of the gods.
Mm-hmm.
According to Ezekiel 32:27, they were the fallen angels that came down and mated with humans. So they were the sons of gods come down, or even the gods, they usually say, came down and mated with humans and created a race of giants called the Nephilims. Or is that, am I saying that right? Nephilim?
Yeah.
The Nephilims. Now, they were Hebrew.
Interesting connection.
Yeah. And there's also called the Lost Tribe of the Hebrews
mm-hmm.
from the Bible. But the years don't correlate very good. Okay. It was closer to Jesus's time, but a lot of these were thousands of years before that. You know, like you're talking 3,000 to 5,000 year old skeletons that they're finding in America, in Ohio.
We have the strangest things happening.
Yeah.
We have everything here.
I know.
Like, it's like the total menagerie of
menagerie
paranormal things going on in Ohio. And of course, you know, we're from Ohio, so hello,
yeah.
hello.
So, you know, in Ohio, they have found these giant skeletons all over. I know here in Toledo, they found 8 of them in the 1800s. I think it was like 1805, down in a van down by the river. No, down by the river, they found 8 skeletons,
mm-hmm.
okay? And I'm trying to locate the exact spot. I have it down to 2 places. One is where the Toledo Yacht Club is.
Okay.
And the other is about a block. It'd be north of that.
Okay.
In this little park area. But it's, according to the records back in 1800s, it is where the new, back then,
mm-hmm.
Coast Guard Lighthouse was.
Which
is right where the yacht club is now.
We're
so they
have to drive back there.
They found 8 skeletons back in the 1800s of giants. So I think it is, like I said, there's 2 locations I think they found, but they found these skeletons in Toledo that were almost 8 foot tall, 8 of them together.
Now, here's a story from Mommy, and that is how you pronounce it, people. It's
Mommy.
Not Mowami. It's not Momi. It's Mommy. Got it?
Okay. All right.
Okay. Lucas County had a total of 16 recorded prehistoric sites. So Toledo is in Lucas County, which is right on Lake Erie in Ohio,
and
close to the Michigan border.
For all
our people around the world, you know, just you'll have to map it.
As I talk while you're talking.
Okay. Thanks, Joe. Thanks for that. Mm-hmm. Sit over there in your alien shirt. Behave. Lucas County had a total of 16 recorded prehistoric sites. One important part of the territory was situated right on the bank above where it is now east end of Facet Street, the Facet Street Bridge, and the Maumee River, which kind of like faces right into downtown Toledo. So it was directly back of the Baltimore and Amp, Ohio elevator building, which I don't know if that's still there or not. We'll have to go.
Yeah. That's on the other side of the river.
Oh, okay, okay. Years back, when this section of Toledo was yet an unfenced common, and after the ground and embankments had been cleared of trees, the site was reduced to practically leveled by a plowman who planted his crops there after like three seasons. Elias Facet, for whom Facet Street was named, who lived close to the land, remembered distinctly of this prehistoric earthwork before the tillers had disturbed the soil. He said it was the northern edge of the enclosure, and it was evidently circular in form, but had been partly washed away by the encroachment of the river, reached near the bridge, and that rear embankment reached across the street and now parallels the river. In front of the old Facet home was a small elevation of sand, apparently an artificial mound. In using their ground to level up Facet, the Facet area, six more skeletons in perfect state of preservation were unearthed, buried face downward.
Yeah.
And these skeletons were evidently of Native Americans of a later period. But just interesting because, you know, this whole area in Toledo where we're at, mm-hmm. obviously Erie, very rich in Native American history. We have many, many tribes that were in and around this area. You know, Erie is named after the Erie tribe. We have Native American all through Ohio, Michigan, Pennsylvania, up into Canada. So, you know, who's to say that there isn't many, many, mm-hmm. you know, places of burials
yeah.
along that we just built over, right?
Well, I'll actually mention that in a minute when I talk about the mounds, but in Zanesville, Ohio, in 1880, there was a skeleton found, which in the newspaper, they put it as a skeleton which is reported to have enormous dimensions were found in a clay coffin.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Why would it be made of clay? I mean, we do have...
It's what they had back then.
Yeah, we have a ton of clay here, but wouldn't that be like... They'd have to kiln it, right? To make it into like a solid. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Also, in the same article, there's a part that says, in a mound near Toledo, Ohio, held 20 giant skeletons seated... facing east with jaws and teeth twice as large as present-day man. Besides each one of them was a large bowl with hieroglyphic figures carved into the bowls.
Where are these bowls? We need to see
them. I know.
Them. But what does that remind you of, Joe?
What?
Bigfoot?
I know. We mentioned that before the show, how a lot of these... A lot of these skeletons found in Toledo had enormous jaw bones that were twice the size. I've seen pictures mm-hmm. on the internet, you know, when I was researching this, of the jaw bones were just like big round jaw bones, just yeah, huge. Just
massive. Because like a normal skeleton, it's, you know, skinny. Like if you put your hand up to your jaw, your jaw pretty much fits in your hand.
Yeah.
You know, like.
But these were different, yeah. Like Bigfoot.
So interesting. And the way that they had them buried, what?
They were seated.
Seated.
Facing east.
So there's some kind of ritual, there's some kind of religion mm-hmm. that has to be tied to that.
And, you know, like I said, doing the research for the show really put me down so many rabbit holes. And one of the rabbit holes was, are we finding Bigfoot skeletons?
Well, there was an article in the Fort Wayne News in Fort Wayne, Indiana, on April 20th, 1898.
Okay.
Right? Toledo, Ohio, April 30th, workmen in the company of the Ferguson Construction Company excavating near Toledo and Ottawa Beach Railroad, a little beyond the city limits, unearthed three skeletons, evidently relics of some great race, as they were about 7 feet in length, just where their ears would have been on the heads of a singular bony protuberance which curl forward. These finds were made in solid yellow clay about 8 feet below the surface. The cut is through a mound not in half had been torn up. Several stone tomahawks of large sizes had been picked up in the locality. Yeah. So, pardon my reading, but basically it was saying they're finding large skeletons mm-hmm. with basically horns
yeah.
protruding out. Mm-hmm.
One of the
three of them.
Yeah, the horns. I mean, that's the only way you can describe it. And I should have wrote it down. I didn't know you were going to read this article, but one of the mounds that were found, I think in West Virginia. I'm sorry, I don't remember. But there was nothing. There's a museum next to the mound, and there's plaques all over saying that these items were not found in the mound. The only item they found in the mound mm-hmm. was a human effigy face, like a mask, had bigger teeth because if the ones that had two rows of teeth, mm-hmm. they couldn't shut their mouths all the way because they had like buck teeth.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And the only thing they found in this mound was a mask that had horns and the big teeth that looked like a human.
Where are these skeletons at?
Well, that's one of the big controversies is every time it's announced that they find these giant skeletons, the Smithsonian shows up and takes them away for research. And the Smithsonian to this day refuses to say that they have any skeletons at all.
That sounds eerily like Men in Black.
Yeah.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
Like somebody's going to show up, they're going to take it and deny everything.
Yeah. I do know one of the researchers that's on the circuit talking about this exact thing.
Mm-hmm.
He mentions that he actually went to the Smithsonian and requested to see at least one of the skeletons. And they say that they've never picked up any skeletons.
Right,
but yet there's
sure.
articles from all over the country, all different years, newspaper articles saying giant skeletons found. Smithsonian shows up to take them away for research and they disappear.
I kind of want to go dig up my backyard and see what's in there.
I'm telling you.
Why couldn't they use that ground penetrating radar?
They probably do.
I know. We need it.
Okay, so let's start talking about the mounds. And I keep wanting to say Indian burial mounds, but after doing all this research, I almost think that the Indians didn't build these, they just used them.
Well, sure. I mean, like if they were there and they moved into the area, why wouldn't they think it was because it's not natural?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there's a giant round mound or square mound or
yeah.
whatever.
Some were pyramid shaped.
Sure. Like, why wouldn't they think this is out of the ordinary? It's not normal. Let's worship at it, yeah. right?
Or live in it. Like the earthworks in Newark,
mm-hmm.
it's a giant circle. And now that one, they do know that. I mean, I did get a chance to go to the museum that's close there, the Johnson Hemrick Museum
okay.
or Hemrick House Museum.
Okay.
The Johnson Hemrick House Museum, I did go there to see the stones, and they have a lot of artifacts that were taken out of that mound that were all Native American. So they know that the Native Americans lived in this mound.
But just going back in history, like if you watch any history show or anything on archaeology, sites were built on top of sites.
Yeah.
So, you know, they've had different sites built on top of, like Viking sites mm-hmm. built on top of Roman sites.
Yeah.
So who's to say like the Native Americans moved into that area didn't build their little communities on top mm-hmm. of, you know.
I think they did.
These sites. So, it's very possible, right?
I think they did. And, you know, some of them, like I know that in Miamisburg, Ohio, that they started digging into the top of that mound and just found hundreds and hundreds of skeletons. So they stopped digging. And now it's a park that you can actually go to. And we've stopped there on the way home
yeah.
from one of the shows. And that is just huge. And I wasn't in the best of shape going up it. So I was like,
yeah, so they have these stairs and you climb up like these 50 flights of stairs. No, it's like, what? Isn't it like straight up?
Pretty much.
Probably like 200 steps,
yeah.
right? I got a splinter. I do remember that. But
it's
yeah,
a curse.
But it was interesting. Now, it would have been real interesting if we had some equipment, like, you know, something to maybe detect EMF or,
yeah,
or other type of ghost hunting equipment.
Seriously, now that I know of where these mounds are, and I'm telling you, I spent this whole week.
I know, you were like.
I'm like, if I wrote everything down, I'd have a stack of papers 10 feet tall because there's so much. And it's like I said, I went down south or down to Newark to look at these stones, and the floodgates opened with giants. I never knew that there were giants in America. And they're, like I said, in these mounds, they found giant skeletons. Plus, like we just read about these newspaper articles from the 1800s, they found giant skeletons in Toledo, which blew my mind.
Yeah, and here's another story outside of Toledo is Tiffin, Ohio. So it's probably, what, about an hour outside of Toledo. While engaged in excavating a cellar on Weber Street, a workman exhumed a mammoth skeleton, indicating the individual who had formerly possessed the frame, which was over 7 feet high. Whether it was a white man or a Native American, they couldn't ascertain, but most of the bones crumbled as soon as they were exposed to air.
Yeah.
Before they could even examine those, using, you know, to distinguish what kind of skeleton it was, whether it was, you know, Aboriginal or native to the land or something else. Just interesting, because I thought bones aren't normally crumble, right?
They do. It all depends on how they're preserved. Mm-hmm. I mean, if they're in like England and the peat moss or, you know, the bogs, or just in dry climates like in the deserts, or even, you know, I mean, even in the swamps, and this whole area was a black swamp.
That's true. I forgot that this was
they would
swamp
be preserved
area.
Because there wouldn't be any oxygen getting into the bones.
Okay. If anybody out there who lives in the Toledo area, any of your relatives stored some bones away in the attic that looked weird, you need to call us.
Yeah. Another thing that's pretty interesting that they found alongside a lot of these and all over the world, they found giant tools, okay, like arrowheads that are like a foot and big, okay? They found like tomahawk-type hammers that were just so ridiculously big, they wouldn't be used by normal-sized people.
What if there were races of, okay, say, you know, when they're excavating or doing archaeological digs, I hope I said that word right, and they find maybe a jawbone of like an ancient ancestor from, you know, 150,000 years ago. Who's to say there weren't races of maybe different branches of hominoids or Neanderthals or whatever it was that we've never discovered, because
well,
the bones just crumbled.
There was.
Didn't we talk about this at one time?
I don't know, but there's different bones that they find of different humanoids that looked different than us. And that's why you had like the Neanderthal, you know, and different things. And that's another theory about Bigfoot, is that the Bigfoots are actually just Neanderthals that are still living, you know. And we go back to even when we were talking to Lori at the Ohio Bigfoot Conference, we talked about, you know, maybe their metabolism is so slow that they don't reproduce as much. That's why there's not thousands of them. I mean, there actually is thousands of them. And that's another thing, too. I remember bringing up earlier in today's show, I brought up the map of the United States where they found all the giants. You put that over the map of where Bigfoot sightings are, and it's almost the same.
So I wonder if, this is a rabbit hole, but okay, so if the Bigfoot creatures, I don't want to call them creatures, that's kind of harsh, right? Sasquatch, whatever you want to call it, Yeti, Swas.
Bros.
Those creatures, the furry men. If they have some kind of ritual to burying their dead, because at some point they're not going to live forever, right? Unless they just have a very long lifespan.
That's what I'm thinking.
You know,
they don't produce as much. They live a lot longer. We do know by doing research on Bigfoots that their hearing is extraordinary. Mm-hmm. Their smell is, you know, it's...
Yeah.
It's...
superhuman.
Yeah. And who's to say, I mean, this is a big rabbit hole, but who's to say they're not Neanderthals? How do we know what... They did find out that... I know we're getting off the subject of giants, but they did find out that the Neanderthal doesn't look like you think of when you see the pictures in the books and all that, where it's just a guy that's hairy or has bigger jawbones, like we said. They actually looked more ape-like.
Well, there was a story about a woman in Russia who she said she was a direct descendant of a Neanderthal or whatever. And when they did her DNA, she was 50% she wasn't 100% human. Yeah. And her, I think it was her grandfather was rumored to be a Neanderthal. Yeah. And so, you know, she could have been like the last of a line, you know, and then you interbreed and then you lose that genetic, you know, makeup, right?
One thing that we need to find out is what size shoe did her grandpa wear? Did he have big foot?
Oh my God. I'm going home now, kids. No, but just getting back to these giant skeletons. So they're found all over, right?
Yeah.
Where are they? Right? Well, we have got to find
these. That's what I'm saying.
We've got to find these.
They're all over the world, and there are some on display in different museums and that. And do know that in one of the Native American museums, somebody made like mannequins to match the size. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we talk about the United States, and we talk about how the Smithsonian pretty much scooped up every bone, but that's just in the United States. And that can't be every single bone.
Right. Like, okay, so back in the 1800s when they first start discovering some of these, and they probably discovered them earlier, but think about that time era. You know, you had these sideshows that you would go and you would pay, you know, a quarter to see a two-headed goat or whatever. I bet you if we looked into that, one of those traveling circuses or freak shows or whatever you want to call it might have had a giant skeleton at one time.
And if you remember when the colonists came over here, which Columbus did not discover America.
What?
Actually, he didn't even discover America. Didn't he hit the Bahamas or something?
West Indies.
When they started colonizing the United States, a lot of those colonists told stories of seeing giants.
Yeah. We'll have to find some of those stories. Now, also, I do remember on one of the shows that I watched, or maybe it was a YouTube video, that they had found Viking, and I think it might have been in Boston, that some one of those colony type situation was built on top of a Viking fort.
I wouldn't doubt it.
So if the Vikings were here, who's to say there weren't people here before the Vikings?
Well, we know
there
was because of the Native Americans. And
where did the Native Americans come from? So now, did they immigrate through the Bering Strait?
We don't know. Now, that's another rabbit hole that I found this week was they almost think that, okay, they think Hebrews came here first. They think the Hebrews were here before the Indians and built the mounds, okay? They found out that a lot of the Indian writing is the exact same as, now the one guy that I, the lecture that I listened to, he said like the Egyptian writing, but I don't think that's right.
More symbolic versus letters? Or?
More like the Hebrew writing of strange letters and like, I mean, it's, and I tried to find it once again.
We'll find it.
The
we'll
rabbit holes were, I mean, but
how many windows did you have open on your computer?
But he actually showed a chart of, you know, I don't know if it was Hopewell or whatever writing, but Native American writing was almost exact to the Hebrew style of writing, and even the letters looked almost exact same.
Okay, so think about this. I don't want to offend anybody, and I'm not trying to offend anybody, and that's not my goal, but
go ahead.
We're getting some doozies lately. If you look at physically a Middle Eastern person, dark hair, dark skin, same attributes with the Native Americans.
Yeah.
So who's to say that wasn't, you know,
were they descendants of?
But I, you know, my, I don't know. And I need to do some history research here, but my understanding was that the Native American tribes had come through the Bering Strait.
Yeah, I don't know.
As, you know, maybe more indigenous people had come down, and then they moved from the west to the east, where, you know, all us white folks came from the east and headed out west.
Yeah, I honestly don't know.
We need to do some history on that, but, you know, who has that time?
So let's talk about some mounds, and I want to mention what they have in common with something that we are in common with.
Okay.
Okay. Think about them. Okay, one of the mounds that was downtown Toledo that they bulldozed over, okay? I did some research of where it was at, okay? And I know the listener won't understand the name of the road, but it's at the end of this road called Oliver Street. Okay. We call it the High Level Bridge. It's underneath where the bridge is now. Was a 200-foot mound where they found Indian and giants buried in this mound, but they just bulldozed it over to make the streets and all that in the neighborhood there. which they did a lot. I mean, that's common. Okay, so we'll talk about that one. That is where the Oliver House is sitting right now. And we do know, this is true fact, that the parking lot of the Oliver House was an Indian burial ground, and there are still Indians buried underneath the parking lot. Okay. The next one, Woodville Mall in Woodville, Ohio, which is, 5 miles or 10 miles from here?
Mm-hmm.
That was a huge mound that they bulldozed over and built the mall on top of.
Wasn't that mall haunted, Very. Joe?
I'm getting to that. Okay. I'm getting to that. So let me tell you, okay, let me go back, or let me do this in reverse. What does the Woodville Mall, the Bone House, the Oliver House, West Virginia State Penitentiary, Old Licking County Jail, what do all those have in common? They're all very, very haunted. And the jails were very violent. Okay. The West Virginia Penitentiary is just on the other side of the Ohio River in Moundsville, which a mound, we've been there.
A giant mound.
Is literally, 50 feet from the prison or 100 feet from the prison? Very haunted, very, you know. All these places. Woodville Mall was haunted. The Bone House is actually right on the edge of where that mound was in Toledo that they bulldozed over. The Oliver House, which we know is haunted, you know. Also, the Toledo Yacht Club, which we talked about before, they found giant skeletons where that is right now. And that's very haunted. So, I mean, these are just ones that I found here in Toledo, except for, you know, Moundsville, West Virginia. But that's right on the Ohio River. They didn't know what was Virginia and what was Ohio back then.
True.
You know?
Yeah, right. It kind of all blended together until...
But they found this whole area, the Ohio River Valley, is all mound builders and a lot of haunted locations. I think it correlates with those locations.
I wouldn't put it past it. And you know what would be interesting, too, is to look and see, like, if they fall on any vortexes or ley lines.
Yeah.
That would be very interesting.
They were very knowledgeable about winter, summer, solstices, certain moon phases. The mounds out in the Hopewell mounds out in or at the corner where Ohio and Indiana come together.
Mm-hmm.
It's a moon, the phases of the moon in mounds.
Wow.
They actually are lined up. The Newark earthworks, it's a big circle with an opening at one end, and at that opening on, I believe it's the, don't quote me on this, but I think it's the winter solstice, the sun rises right in the middle of it. So they had knowledge of these different times of the year. Now, I know the one in the Hopewell Mounds over by Indiana, they say that they did that so they knew when to plant and stuff like that. But who knows? You know, why did they line all these up with celestial occurrences?
And I don't know if you know this, but you probably do. But you know that wishing well that's at Cherry, there's a street, Collingwood and Cherry and Detroit
in Toledo.
Come together, Phillips. There's a well there. It's called the Hope Well. That's where the Native Americans would come. It was like a meeting point for them.
Oh.
So that is there to this day.
Yeah, I know.
We need to go do some.
They put a roundabout there.
Yeah, but it's still there.
It's like a figure eight.
Yeah.
But I wonder if there was a mound there.
It very could well have been. Well, I've been, get it? I wasn't trying to be funny. No pun intended.
So, yeah, it's just, there's so many correlations between haunted locations, these mounds, giants in Toledo, and giants all over the world that were found, skeletons. Now, I don't know if we mentioned it. I was going to mention about the Bible. In the Bible, I keep wanting to say Cain and Abel.
No, it's David and Goliath.
David and Goliath, in the King James Version, Goliath is reported to be 8 foot tall, but in the older versions,
mm-hmm.
he was reported to be 7 foot tall. And
but did they have feet back then? Like we measure feet
no,
now?
No, but the way that they like said it.
Stone.
Yeah.
Five it, stone high.
No, I think it was.
Five hand high.
Cubits.
What are they got? Like in England, they like you measure horses by hands. Like you're 17.
They do that. Yeah, that's it.
Hands
they
high.
Do that in,
but how big were the
America
hands?
Too. Yeah. Now, modern day giants, okay.
Shaquille O'Neal.
Andre the Giant.
Yes.
Which was a true giant.
Oh my gosh.
You know, but people, they said that you know, people like him had giantism because it was a mm-hmm. pituitary gland thing or whatever. I don't know. But there's a lot more. I mean, there's giants that are living right now.
Yeah.
I mean, look at most of your basketball players, most of your football players, almost all your professional wrestlers mm-hmm. would be considered giants because how big they were.
Right. And we weren't. Our people weren't that large. Mm-hmm. Like, if you go back and look at any of the old-time
Hulk
castles.
Hogan.
Oh, Randy Savage! Oh, you know who died today?
Yeah.
Gene.
Mean Gene.
Mean Gene, the announcer for WWE.
I've never met him.
Didn't either, but yeah. There was another wrestler who passed away yesterday or today, too.
Oh, yeah. So
I can't remember the name, but just.
But you think about
that. You know who died, too? Captain from Captain and Tennille.
Oh, I heard that. Yeah.
Wah, wah, R.I.P. Anyways, rabbit hole. Go ahead.
But we've even met some of the people at our conferences that were huge. I mean, but so who's, I mean, there's still giants that walk the earth, but they're just, you know, your professional wrestlers and stuff like that. You look at them and they're all huge.
I mean,
except for Matt Hardy.
He was very nice to us.
I know.
So anyways, yeah, I mean, look at, like, okay, say if a certain species is breeding,
mm-hmm.
you know, the strongest survive, right?
Oh, yeah.
Only the strong survive. So you're going to keep breeding the largest and the biggest, and you may have this race. It's kind of the thing like the blue people of Kentucky,
yeah.
right? Where you just keep inbreeding and mm-hmm. inbreeding until everybody's blue.
Yeah.
There's just blue people, right?
Blue moon.
It was a myth until they found out it wasn't
exactly.
a legend.
Exactly. Just like these giants that I, you know, when we first started talking about doing giants, all I could think of was the Bible giants.
Yeah, so I'm thinking like Mesopotamia area,
yeah.
but it's like here, right here in Ohio.
Yeah.
So we've got to call the University of Toledo, and we've got call to the Toledo Art Museum
yeah.
to see if there are any things in their archives.
Mm-hmm. I'm definitely going to follow up on all this and have more shows about it. I'm definitely, I can't say his name because I really didn't email him yet. I was at the Johnson Hemrick House Museum to see the stones mm-hmm. and I asked them if there was any experts that we could talk to. They gave me some emails, so I'm going to get a hold of them. I'm definitely going to have a show about the Newark Earthworks and the stones because I could do a whole show on just these stones. They're so amazing and so controversial. And
I would like to see if there's any energy that comes off of these particular mm-hmm. stones. Like, get me my ghost-busting equipment,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And let me in there and
yeah,
let
I couldn't
me
do
hold
that
them in my hands.
When I went to the museum, obviously,
yeah.
I couldn't do that. But if we get a chance, I'm going to try my darndest to set up an interview with him. And maybe we'll do it at either that museum or at the Earthworks Museum.
Kind of dig into the records of like the history of Toledo too, because I bet you if we got into some of the archives, we might be finding some of these articles of giants and
yeah.
Skeletons being
yeah,
found.
Yeah, like I said, I just started doing some digging, and these articles about in Toledo popped up. I mean, if I can find them that fast, if we do some serious digging, we're going to find a lot of interesting stuff.
Like I said, Ohio is just the hotbed for all types of paranormal activity. We've got haunted locations, Bigfoot, UFOs,
mm-hmm.
cryptids. Now we have giant skeletons.
With horns. And giant jaws.
Giant jaws.
In haunted locations.
Yeah.
Very haunted. That we've investigated at.
Definitely. Now that we know that, we're going to go in with a different perspective.
Mm-hmm. So how do you ask?
We need to get.
Do we walk in and go, ooga, 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 ooga?
No.
And then on the obelisk, it will go, ooga, 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 ooga?
No, it's like, Captain Caveman! All right, what's our call to action, Joe? Tell everybody what they got to do.
What do we got to do? Oh, yeah. All right, well, thank you for listening this week. It just opened up so many things. We're definitely going to have more shows about this. And one thing I want you guys to do, like we said on last week's show, we are getting our calendars together for this year's convention season, which lasts all year. If you have a show, if you're putting on a convention, paranormal, Bigfoot, UFO, whatever, and you would like us at your event, get a hold of us. We'll set up a deal with you. We'd love to come to your event. We'd love to set up at your event.
I'd like to advertise your event. So, yeah. You know, like if you know, reach some masses, we definitely have the audience to reach out to and that are interested in and want to come to these to learn.
Yeah. And in the email, put in big bold letters something about the event so we can notice it. There was a few emails that slipped through the cracks. Oops. Yeah. It's, you know, like
it was the holidays. Sorry. Yeah. There was a lot going on, but we're back. We're here.
Yeah. So like I said, if you have any events that you are putting on and you would like us at your event, let us know. Email us. We'll try to figure something out, whether it's advertising or whatever. Just get a hold of us. And other than that, like we say every week, if you like the show, please share with all your friends. Yep. Share our show.
Yep. Make us popular. Check us out on Twitter, Facebook. Leave us a positive rating review, and we will talk to you next week.
Thank you for listening, and we will see you next week.
Bye now.
Bye-bye. This is Second Season by Dead in 5.